Turn, if you would, this morning to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are thankful for this day. We're thankful, Lord, for the music that we were able to participate in, and as far as being reminded of your blood and your cross that you were willing to die on and to shed that blood for us. We're thankful, Lord, for the amazing love that you have for us. God, I pray that you'd help us today to consider these words of Solomon, that you would help them to speak to our hearts and our minds, and Lord, that it would result in a change of action in our part, in our lives, where it would be needed. I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning I'm going to admit right up front that I am going to be preaching a passage that I know I have preached in the past, and I'm going to use an illustration that most likely I have used at some point in the past, but I'm okay with both of those things because I know that the truth of this morning's message is necessary. It is a reminder that all of us need, and it's been several years since we've dealt with this passage, and so most of us could use the refresher. So what I would ask you to do is for about the next 55 to 60 minutes, just sit back and relax and enjoy yourselves. If you're still here in 55 to 60 minutes, just lock up when we're done, okay? But anyways, just sit back and listen and consider how this might be necessary in your lives. This morning I want to begin with a thought that I believe all of us know to be true. I don't believe any of us would really argue this or try to deny it. The truth would be this, the statement would be this, that it is not good for a person's body to stay dormant, to stay inactive. Would you agree with that? That it is not good for a person's body to be dormant, for you and I to be inactive. And so the truth is this, we need to be active individuals. We need to stay busy. That being the case, here's what I know, that some people have jobs, they have lines of work, they have an occupation that forces them to be busy, that forces them to be active. And so, truth be told, at the end of the day, their body is tired, their body is spent, and they are worn out, and justifiably so. At the same time, many of us have professions, careers, lines of work, whatever you'd like to call it, that does not necessarily require of us a lot of physical effort. It does not demand much of us physically. And so if we're not careful, our bodies, though we are at work and we are engaged in activity, our bodies really have not been that active. I certainly fall into that line of work. I certainly fall into that kind of a category where I can come to the church several days a week and I can spend many hours up here and I can get many things done. And at the end of each week, I could say, yes, I was busy. But if someone said, Kyle, were you active? I would have to say, no, I was not real active at work. And so, because I understand the need for activity, I understand that it's not good for my body to just sit around or lie around all the time, I try to exercise some. And here's what most of us know and what most of us would also agree to, and that would be this, that for most of us, exercise is not something that just comes natural for us. We don't just wake up in the mornings and say, is it time to exercise? That's not what we do. And so here I am, understanding that I need to be active, that I need to keep my body busy to an extent. And so what am I trying to do to stay active, to get that exercise that I need? Well, one of the exercises I'm trying to get back involved in now is that of riding my bike. I'm trying to get back into the routine of that. I'm trying to get back to where my body does not revolt at the idea of getting on the bike and all these different things. And yet there is something that I have discovered of myself, and I think you would say this would be true of you sometimes as it relates to the subject of exercise, and that is this, is that if I don't want to exercise, there is always, always, always an excuse available to me. You understand what I'm talking about? I have to be honest and tell you, I was so thrilled when the doctor told me a couple of months ago I couldn't ride the bike. He said, you know, I'm worried that if you were to take a fall, you might hurt your shoulder again, and so you just need to stay off the bike. I tried to give a disappointed look to the doctor, but on the inside, I was doing cartwheels. I have an excuse. I don't have to do exercise on the bike. Once the doctor released me, though, it was one of those things where it was like, man, you don't have that excuse anymore. You need to come up with a different excuse. And lo and behold, guess what? The excuses were there. Need to ride the bike. Man, is it windy outside. Boy, it'd be terrible to start trying to get back into the swing of things right now. So, yeah, the wind, boy, it's blowing. I'll ride tomorrow if the wind's not blowing. Well, tomorrow rolls around and the wind's not blowing, but my goodness, would you look at how hot it is outside? Boy, I probably don't need to start out on a day with this kind of heat and this kind of humidity. So here's what I'll do. I'll wait till tomorrow when the wind's not blowing and when the temperature's a little bit cooler. So the next day rolls around, the wind's not blowing, the temperature's a little bit cooler. But man, I've been, you know, I had kind of a busy day today. I don't feel like riding today. See, the truth of the matter is this. If I need an excuse, I've got an excuse. And if I am waiting for the perfect set of circumstances to appear before I take advantage of what I know I need to be doing, the perfect set of circumstances will never present themselves to me. There is always something available to keep me from doing what I know needs to be done. Now, as you think about that truth, as you think about that principle, this morning we're going to be in verse number 4. As we're in verse number 4, here's what we're going to see. We're going to see that Solomon mentions the subject of sowing and reaping. The subject of sowing and reaping. And as we consider the subject of sowing and reaping, here's what I'd like us to think about, that in the days of Solomon, in the days when these words would have been penned, the idea of having a garden, the idea of having a crop of some sort, that was not something that people did strictly as a hobby because they had nothing else to do. Would you agree with that? That a person who had the garden, who had the crops, who had the fields that they would work for the purpose of bringing forth food, here is why they did it. They did it out of necessity. They did this because they knew it needed to be done. And so as the subject of sowing and reaping is being talked about, as the subject of sowing and reaping is being dealt with, we understand this, that it was done many times simply for the sake of survival. Again, not just because they enjoyed gardening and thought it was fun to grow some of their own fruit. So they did it for survival. It was a necessity in life. It was essential. And here is what we also know. It was hard work. There is nothing about that kind of work that is not demanding, especially in their day when they lacked the technology and the resources and the machinery that we enjoy today. And whenever I say we, I mean the people who actually do that kind of stuff, all right? And so for them, it was done out of necessity. It was done because it was essential. It was a need, and it was something that required hard work on their part. Now this morning, I know that we know this. I know that you're aware of this, but you may not be thinking about this. So let me just remind us of something that, generally speaking, if something is hard work, it is not something that just comes natural to the individual engaged in that. Many times, if it's going to be hard work, if it's going to be something that requires energy on our part, more times than not, a person has to make themselves do what it is that needs to be done. So if you think about the idea of sowing, if you think about the idea of reaping, here's what you probably ought to consider and might be helpful if you keep in mind, that it's not as though the people in Solomon's day woke up saying, is this the day we get to sow? Because it's not something that their flesh would have just naturally enjoyed. It's not as though they would have just enjoyed the process of going out and breaking up the ground and eventually planting the seed. It's not as though they just naturally enjoyed getting up and dealing with the wild animals who would have pulled the plows, and having to deal with all that. It was something they would have done simply because they forced themselves to do it because they saw the need for it. Well, the same would be true of reaping. Yes, it was enjoyable to bring in the harvest, and yes, it would have been enjoyable to bring in the food needed for yourselves or maybe to take to market, whatever the situation may have been. But still, just the idea of going out there and reaping the harvest, it is not something that their flesh would have just cried out for. It is something they would have had to have made themselves do. And Solomon, in verse number 4, makes clear that for many, at least in their day, there was a struggle in relation to doing what they knew needed to be done. Well, how do we know? Because he says in verse number 4, he that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. Well, what does it mean whenever Solomon speaks of wind? Well, most of us understand that, do we not, because of where we live? We understand what the wind is. We understand he's not talking about just a breeze or some soft winds blowing. He would be talking about something that would be somewhat intense, somewhat serious, just above normal by way of the breezes. And he said, he that observeth the wind shall not sow. So what does it mean to observe something? Well, it means to give attention to something. To fix your eyes upon something. So what Solomon is saying is this, that in the life of an individual, it could be time to sow the seed for next season's crop. It's time to go out there and to break up the ground once more. It is time once again to go out there and to spread the seed. It is time once more to go out there and cover up the seed so that it can begin to do what it needs to do to bring forth the fruit, to bring forth the crops. But here is what Solomon said. He said that if a person observes or gives their attention to the wind, they will not sow. You know what Solomon was indicating? Solomon was indicating this. That it is possible, or it was possible in their day, for people to say something like this, well, I was going to sow, but man, is it windy out there today. I'm telling you, I talked to my wife yesterday. I was down at the coffee shop visiting with some of my friends, and I was telling them just yesterday, yeah, tomorrow's when I'm going to start sowing. Man, I had no idea the wind was going to blow like it is today. Well, I'll do that tomorrow. So he gets up the next day and the wind is blowing once again. So long as this pattern is in place, you know what Solomon said? So long as the person observes the wind, they will not sow. It will not get done. What needs to happen, what needs to take place, will not happen, will not take place. So if a person chooses to give their attention to the wind, they will not sow. And he went on to say this, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. What does it mean to regard the clouds? Well, it's talking about rain clouds here. Maybe that which could break forth and begin to saturate the land at almost any time. Solomon said, if the person regards the clouds, they'll not go out and reap. So again, this word regard, it's just the idea of fixing your eyes on this or giving your attention to these things. And so what Solomon said was, if a person decides to give their attention to the possible rain from the clouds on this particular day, they'll not go out and reap. They'll not go out and do what needs to be done. So again, what is Solomon suggesting and what is Solomon indicating? He is indicating this, that there could be an obstacle when it came to the time of reaping that might keep somebody from going out and doing what needed to be done. And so as some people have paraphrased this scripture, and what they have done by way of explanation is this, they have said that essentially what Solomon is declaring is that if you are looking for the perfect opportunity to sow and to reap, the perfect opportunity will never present itself. There will always be something present. There will always be something available that keeps the person from doing what they know needs to be done. You know that you need to sow, but you don't really want to sow. You don't feel like sowing. You're exhausted from the week's activity. So you don't do it because you've got an excuse available to you. You know that you need to reap. You know that you need to harvest. You know that. But would you look at those rain clouds? And here's the thing. That if a person gave all of their attention and they gave all of their focus to the wind and to the clouds, not only would things that need to be done not get done, the long-term effect of that would be negative for obvious reasons. You understand this, right? See, if the seed is not ever sown, the chances of a good crop the next season are pretty slim. You and I can understand that, right? And if you don't go out and you don't reap the harvest, then what you understand is this, is that eventually the food or the harvest will go bad because it's never been brought in. And the consequence to that is fairly significant if that's what you're dependent upon for your livelihood. And so as Solomon writes these words, I don't think he's necessarily just speaking to the farmer, hey, quit looking for excuses and stop looking for reasons to keep you from doing what you know needs to be done. What I think he was trying to do was use an illustration that they in their day could have understood and related to. And what Solomon was trying to say to anybody who would read these words is this, hey, listen, don't fix your attention on what keeps you from doing what you know needs to be done. Because if you're waiting on the perfect set of circumstances, the perfect set of circumstances will never take place. So what do you have to do? You just have to lower your head. You just have to determine you're doing it. And then what? Do it. Stop worrying about the wind. Stop worrying about the rain clouds. Stop worrying about whatever may serve as a distraction. Just go out and do what needs to be done. Now this morning, with a fairly quick explanation of the passage, with a fairly quick explanation of what Solomon was trying to illustrate and to communicate, I want us to think about something this morning, separate and apart from the idea of sowing and reaping, because you and I would be honest this morning and admit we don't do much of that by way of necessity, right? You and I aren't worried about our crops right now. We're not worried about our gardens right now. That's not what we're really worried about today, correct? Okay. Three of us are not worried about our crops. Others of you have burdens I didn't realize. All right. For those of us who don't have crops that we're worried about right now, and that's not what our burden is focused on, I want us to consider this question. Do you and I have other needs in our lives? And then the answer to that would be this, yes, whether we realize it or not. Every one of us have needs, things that are essential in our personal lives. Far more important even than the physical aspect of things, though we need to be active and we need to stay busy, okay? As important as that is, I hope today we understand and realize that we have other needs that are far more important than a busy, active lifestyle. Amen. Okay? Now, you may be sitting here this morning saying, I think I know what you're talking about, but I don't know for sure what it is you're talking about. So let me help us for just a few moments, and I'll just go ahead and tell you. We're going to be heavy on application today, okay? Heavy on application because I think this is necessary. I believe it is something that can be helpful. So what are some of our needs today? Well, I think if you and I would think about it, we would come to this conclusion at some point that we have a personal need for some spiritual growth in our lives. Would you agree that there is a need in every one of us to be growing in our spiritual lives? It is not good for a person to be a child of God, to be saved, and to be on their way to heaven, and to be dormant and inactive in their spiritual lives. All right, so we need to be growing, we need to be maturing, we need to be developing, we need to be moving forward in our spiritual life. That is an essential part of who we are on a daily basis. So what are some of the things then necessary? What are some of the things needed in our lives if we are going to grow in our spiritual lives in the manner in which we ought? Well, I think every one of us would agree to this, that we need to have our own personal relationship with the Lord well past salvation. You understand this, right? That it needs to be personal, not corporate. Church is wonderful. Church is fantastic. And church serves and aids in the purpose and aids in the development of our spiritual growth. But friend, there is so much more. I know that we know this. There is so much more to our spiritual growth than just our assemblies on Sundays and on Wednesdays. So what do you and I need to be doing to grow this spiritual life of ours? Well, without doubt, we need to be men and women who are in the Word. I trust you know that this week you needed to be in the Word of God. You needed to get alone with the Word of God and let the Word of God speak to you. That is something you and I need. It really, for our spiritual development, is not optional. Maybe I'll read the Word this week, maybe I won't. It is a necessity. What else do I need to do to develop and to grow and to mature this spiritual walk that I've got? I've got to spend time in prayer with the one who created me and the one who saved me and the one who loves me. There has got to be an open line of communication between the Savior and God the Father and ourselves. And so throughout the week, this must be true that I set aside time where I can be uninterrupted in my fellowship and in my communion with God. That's fairly basic, is it not? So there is this need for me to be growing personally outside of what I'm involved in corporately here at the church. I need to be in the Word of God. Not because I always understand everything I'm reading. Not because I always retain everything I've read. I need to be in it though, because that is where the Word of God will feed me and encourage me, and the Spirit of God can challenge me and convict me and provoke me. I need it. And I need to be in prayer, because that's where I can cast all my burdens upon the Lord. That's where I can share with Him everything that is on my heart and mind, though He already knows it. I need that. But in my spiritual life, I need more than that. You say, well, what else would you need besides that? I don't know about you, but sometimes I need reconciliation with the Father. Because see, sometimes in my humanity, here's what takes place. I fail. Have you ever been known to fail in your spiritual lives? You failed in this particular area. You failed in this particular area. You failed in this particular area. Whatever it may be. And because of that failure, here's what I need. I don't need God to be reconciled to me because God did nothing wrong. What I need is to be reconciled unto Him, or I need to be made right with Him. So there has to be certain times in my spiritual life where I repent, where I have a change of heart and a change of mind toward a certain activity. And I say, God, I am sorry for this. And I turn from my sin and I go and I begin to do right and try to live with the attitude of go and sin no more. See, I need that reconciliation, and I need those times in my life where I'm made right with my Father, because sin in my life has taken me away from where I need to be. Now this morning I want us to think about the principle for just a moment. I need to be in the Word. I need to be a person of prayer. I need to have a right relationship with the Lord that can only come whenever I'm willing to humble myself and call upon the Lord and ask Him to forgive me. Listen, that's what I need. But those things don't come natural for me. Come on, I'll let us think about that for just a moment. I don't think I'm different in this regard. My body does not just wake up in the mornings and say, oh, don't forget to pray because you love to pray. No, my flesh says, get up, get busy, let's go, let's move, let's get things done. Come on, you got a full day, let's do. See, I'll just say it like this. Prayer for me is hard work. Being in the Word for me is not always easy. I know maybe a preacher shouldn't admit that, but I'll just tell you right now, sometimes my flesh doesn't want to read the Bible. I'd much rather watch SportsCenter. I'd much rather watch a game. I'd much rather go outside and do some yard work, clean the car, whatever it may be. There are many things that my flesh would rather do than to grow and to nurture and develop my spiritual life. I don't always want to make certain sins right with God. I know you know this, but why do we sin? Because we enjoy it more times than not. We were having fun with it. We weren't thinking about whatever it was. And so we just did it naturally. And so a lot of times what it is that we're doing, it's because that's what we want to do. And so the idea of reconciliation isn't anything that our flesh is overly excited about. Is it terrible for me to admit this, or can we just be honest today, okay? It's not something that my flesh just wants to do. So all that being said, this truth exists in my life, maybe not in yours, but certainly in mine. There's a lot of wind out there. And a lot of clouds. And all I mean by that is this. There are many things that I could give my attention to keep me from doing the things I know I need to be doing. Well, I'm exhausted. I'll read tomorrow. I'll get up early in the morning and take care of what I didn't do today. Can anyone relate to that whatsoever? I'm cramped for time. Here's what I'll do. Now I'll just work in a little bit, but I'm not going to be able to give myself completely to it because there are just so many other things on my agenda for today. You know what we've done? We have fixed our eyes on other things that are keeping us from doing what we know we need to be doing. We've given attention to the wind. We've given attention to the clouds and what needs to be sowed, what needs to be reaped, what we really need to do because it is essential to our spiritual development. We're not doing that because we now have some excuses we can look to that keep us from doing what we know needs to be done. Hey, we've done it. If you tell me you've never done it, I'll just call you a liar right now, okay? We've done it because that is our nature. We don't like to do the things that need to be done, especially when it's hard work. But we need to think about the consequences. You know, it's kind of like if I don't exercise, at some point it's going to catch up with me. It's like the farmer, if they don't sow or if they don't reap, at some point it's going to catch up with me. Well, you know, if I don't do in my spiritual life what needs to be done, and if I'm not faithful to do what needs to be done, I just want to remind every one of us, at some point it will catch up with us. I don't want to reconcile my relationship with the Lord right now. My pride is at stake, or just if I'm honest, I want to keep doing what I've been doing. Listen, you can use whatever excuses you want, but you need to think about the consequences. It will catch up with you at some point. And we may sit here this morning, we may say, well, Brother Kyle, I've got all that in place. I mean, my spiritual life really is second to none. I'm incredible. Lord bless you. But think about some other areas of life that we have needs in. Really, it's not optional. Really, it's not whether or not we think it's important. It's very important, actually. And that would be the relationships that God has provided and made available in our lives. See, there are certain needs that exist with other people that we are responsible for. See, I have a relationship with Susie. As my wife for 22 years, we've had this relationship now for a while, and there are certain things that I need to be to her. If I'm going to be scriptural, if I'm going to be biblical in my approach to my marriage, then there are just certain things I need to be to her. You know this, most of you, that God has allowed me to be the father of three children. There are things that I need to be to them. It's not really up to me whether or not I should do these things. It's what I am called to be as a father to the kids. So I'm not allowed to sit back and say, well, that's really not important. You know, that's really not significant. You know, I don't really have to worry about that. No, the scripture would say, no, you do need to do these things as it relates to your kids. I am a son. My parents are still living. I am a brother. I am a friend. I am a pastor. All these different areas in my life, I have needs related to the relationships that I have. Well, your life is no different than mine. If you're married, you have needs for your marriage that you need to meet. And if you have children, the same is true for you. You understand this, don't you? There are needs present in the relationships that we are responsible for meeting. So why don't we just go ahead and admit this morning? Sometimes we don't want to meet those needs. Yeah, I know what I need to do for Susie. Yes, I know what I need to be doing for my children, but that's not what I want to do. I have other things that I want to do. I have other things that I want to engage in. I have other things that are occupying my time right now. I've got other things that have gotten my attention. And so you know what is true as it relates to my relationship with Susie and to my kids? There is always some wind out there and there is always some clouds out there that can keep me from being what I need to be, that keep me from doing what I ought to be doing. Hey, babe, do you think we could? Well, maybe we could, but probably not, babe. We're going to have to put that off. Not because I couldn't. It's just because I've got something else to justify not doing what I ought to be doing in that moment with her. Hey, Dad, do you think maybe we could? Well, son, maybe we could. Sweetie, maybe we could, but you know, shucks. Daddy's got a lot going on right now. And many times, Daddy's just selfish. But Daddy can justify it. Dad not doing what needs to be done because, see, there's some wind out there and there are some clouds out there. And I'll tell you what, we'll just do that one later. And the truth of the matter is this, later may not come because we may only get one shot at that moment. And that may not seem like a big deal right now, but I can promise us it will be a big deal in the future. It'll catch up with us. You know, I mean, if I don't do what I need to do as a husband, then there'll come a time where Susie just kind of detaches herself from me and just kind of does what she wants to do and doesn't really need me any longer to be a part of the equation. If I don't do what I need to do as a father, there will come a time when I'll regret that. Dad doesn't have time for me anyways. Dad's always busy. Dad's always got something else going on. I'm not going to bother Dad with this because Dad doesn't want to be bothered with that. You think that doesn't happen? It's because parents are incredibly capable of giving their attention to things that really don't deserve their attention. And rather than just doing what needs to be done, they come up with some kind of an excuse. I need to call my parents. I'll do that later. It's a bad, bad, bad habit to get into. I need to call that friend. I need to do this. I need to do this. Whatever it may be. I need to do that, but I've got so much going on. You know what we're doing? We're looking at the wind. We're looking at the clouds. And we're saying, not right now. Maybe when the circumstances are better, that's when I'll do it. And here is what we all know. The perfect set of circumstances never present themselves, ever. There's never a perfect time to be the Christian we're supposed to be. We can tell ourselves later. When later gets here, it still won't be a perfect time. There will never be a perfect time to be the spouse we need to be. There will never be a perfect time to be the parent we're supposed to be. There will never be the perfect time to be the friend we need to be. There will never, ever, ever, ever be a perfect set of circumstances in our lives. So what do we have to do? At some point, we have to set the excuses aside, just put our head down, and do what we know needs to be done. But that's hard, isn't it? Yeah. Like sowing a seed or reaping the harvest. It's not easy. But if we don't want there to be some serious consequences in the future, we've got to stop looking at all the things that distract us and that help us justify not doing what needs to be done, and we have just got to do it. And so this morning, here's what I'm going to ask you. It may not be necessary for you, but I'm going to ask all of us anyway, this question. Is there anything in your life right now that you know you need to be doing different? whether it be your spiritual life, whether it be your marriage, whether it be your relationship with your kids, whether it be your relationship with a family member, a friend, whatever it may be, is there anything in your life you know it needs to be different? If you know it needs to be different, I'd ask you this morning to then identify what it is that is keeping you from doing what you know needs to be done. Because most of us know what the excuse is we're looking at, right? It's our schedule. It's our job. It's our hobbies. It's our interest. Most of us know what it is we are focused on that is keeping us from doing the things that we need to be doing. So is there anything in your life that you know needs to be different? If so, what is it that is keeping you from doing it? And once you identify that, be willing to put that thing, whatever it is, or that person, whoever it may be willing to put that in its proper place so that you can actually do what needs to be done. Stop making excuses for it. Stop justifying it. Stop rationalizing it. Whatever it is that is keeping you from doing what you know needs to be done, put that in its rightful place so that you can do what you know you need to be doing. Here is an amazing truth that we cannot deny. I think the life of Christ shows this fairly clearly in the Scripture, that you and I can be very, very, very busy people. We can be involved in many, many, many different things, and we can still be the person we're supposed to be and do the things we're supposed to do and meet all of our obligations and all of our responsibilities, but we have to be willing to do it. It's possible, but that has to be priority. Let's all stand this morning and bow our heads for prayer. Father, as I come to you this morning, Lord, I know that for many of us, if we're honest, we can just say right now, there are things we know we need to be doing that we're not. And Lord, we probably, many of us, know exactly what it is right now that's standing in our way. And so the question for us will be this: will we stop giving all of our attention to the excuses and just do what we know needs to be done? God, I pray that you'd help us to be men and women who would just be the type that do what needs to be done in our walk with you, in our relationship with others. And Lord, if we'll take care of those two things, everything else will fall in place as it needs to. So I pray that you'd help us today in this time of invitation. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.